Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems, so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000ths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people, you can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see $600,000
deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was my lawyer called me and said, hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, this woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last try. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
All right, we're here on Build Solar Homes and Podcast, which was formerly It's My House. Today's jump-off topic, or anything that you guys want to talk about, we're going to start off with property tax outreach. Property tax outreach, I'll give you the backstory on that based on what I observed this, Wednesday. Property tax outreach, so if you got a property tax bill, real estate bill that you owe the government, like your local city or county, and you're in danger of losing that house, that's our jump-off topic for today. Of course, open mic as well, anything you guys want to talk about. 619-768-2945 is the call-in number. Just press 1. If you want to chime in on the conversation or add to it or bring up a topic that you want to, you know, hear, discuss, or educate people on. And we'll be right back with that in 2 minutes.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number 2 there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A 3-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another 3-pointer at the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, back to Build Solar Homes, and today's jump-off topic is property tax outreach, helping 10 to 100 people in 1 hour. Let's start off with the property tax outreach. This past Wednesday, I sat in on a series of court cases. Everybody that was on a docket was plaintiff and or defendant in a property tax, real estate property tax case in court. In their local courts. And as I was listening out, and how this goes is, If you don't pay, for those who don't know, if you don't pay your real estate property taxes, then the city or the taxing authority, in this case a city, they will put your property up for sale. Now, this is the tax certificate sale, so it's, you know, it's the tax certificate up for sale, not the actual property. However, and it's done auction style, and if you don't pay those back taxes by the time the auction happens, somebody can bid on the property. Sometimes they don't bid, nobody bids on it, but if it's available property, people will bid on it. The winning bidder will get be awarded a tax certificate. At least in this jurisdiction, that's what they were awarded, a tax certificate. Now, in a certain period of time, and this is different from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, you know, whatever they put in, like say, the winning bid was $10,000 or whatever it might be, then the city is saying, all right, you'll get your, you know, if the person redeems their property with whatever period of time, within a month or several months, then, you know, you'll get your principal back plus any, you know, whatever interest that accrues. For the person that has the legal property rights, what's good for them, you know, getting your principal back and, you know, they're getting interest, better interest than any bank. For you, that'll be penalties and interest and all that you got to pay. So in this one particular case, and then the person, if it gets to a certain point, the judge would say, well, all right, you lose the right to redemption, and then the person can go ahead on and foreclose on the property. All right. This is overall my description, because it's different from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. So, and yeah, a lot of people that lose homes that way, the family home, you know, there's a lot of people that lose homes that way. So, or houses that way. So, one of the cases that I heard was a lady, sounds like an elderly lady. She owes $175,000 in back taxes. Now, I don't know the whole backstory because, you know, I just heard this. Because the hearings were basically from property. The judges got a full calendar, day by day, Monday through Friday. So they might spend maybe 5 minutes per case. All right. And, but it's detailed. You know, the judge is fair. All the cases I've ever heard. So $175,000. All right. Now, I'm not an attorney or anything like that. But what I noticed that, because I sit on in these cases like 2-3 times a year. So just listen to learn. And I said, you know what? There's some common denominators here. Information isn't getting into the community. And some of these are academically, I mean, college degree people and all this other stuff. But this tax thing, property tax thing, there's a bunch of people that are not there. Well, let me put it this way. They're property tax illiterate. Property tax illiterate. So I say, you know what? The reverse that, okay, or at least attempt to reverse it, we're going to start teaching property tax literacy classes. including podcasts. This is the first one on this particular topic. Property tax literacy. All right. Because this woman, no judgment towards her character, this woman and her relatives and probably her pastor at the church, if she's got one, are property tax illiterate. Thus, $175,000 tax bill. She instructed the judge that she's not interested in keeping her property. But the judge is compassionate. A lot of judges have been compassionate in their case for the bill to get up that high. And he recommended some, you know, free legal resources that I think she was aware of. But so she might have a chance to come out under that. Might. Okay. So I thought, all right, property tax outreach, you know, where we're not giving any legal advice, because here's the thing. A lot of people, when they receive a letter from the local taxing authority, or they have to go to tax court or whatever it might be, they see words that they don't recognize, legal words they don't recognize. They think they have a legal problem. They don't. That's a bold statement for me to say, but wait, just hold on a minute. And then you got a judge on the phone who's a lawyer. Then you hear plaintiff's attorneys on the phone, their lawyers. So you're in a court session, which is, you know, that's all about law, but it's not a legal problem. It's an arithmetic problem that can be solved with third grade arithmetic that can be performed by the average 8-year-old. And some of you might think I'm cat shit crazy. All right, but what we're going to demonstrate right now on this podcast, and we have a PM podcast of this too, which is a different platform at 6:30 tonight, but I'll tell you about that before the end of the podcast. We have plenty of time. I'm going to demonstrate that her $175,000 tax bill can be solved with third grade arithmetic. Not advanced math, not algebra, not trigonometry, but third grade arithmetic. I'll play this and I'll come back and I'll prove my point. You wanted to speak to me? 619-768-2945.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage, and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, now let's go to back to the woman with $175,000 in back taxes. If she doesn't come up with a way to pay that $175,000, he will lose the house. Once again, I say she doesn't have a legal problem. She's got an arithmetic problem. Not calculus, not advanced math, but an arithmetic problem that can be solved by an 8-year-old in third grade. Let's do the math, or do the arithmetic, rather. Now, by third grade, the four basic operations that third graders work on when it comes to math or arithmetic, rather, are addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Most of you know that, anywhere you're listening to us on the globe, and it's all over the internet. All right, now. So we're dealing with $175,000. So you heard that this guy, by his lonesome, within a couple of weeks, built a $2,000 cabin. And he spent another $3,000, or practically, let's just round it off to $3,000, for his, you know, solar, so to have electricity power, for his flat screen TV, cell phone charging, lights, runners, you know, his laptop, computer, microwave, that's, you know, coffee, all that kind of stuff. $5,000. So if we take, now, that cabin, I'm going to be very conservative. Now, he built that cabin for himself, all right? But what if he decided to sell? Do that for a living as a side hustle. All right. Well, $175,000, like he can easily up that price to $10,000. I mean, he built it for $5,000, and then he's selling it for $10,000. So $175,000 divided by $10,000 is $17,000. But hold it, let's look at the property here. So hold it, let's do this. $175,000 divided by $5,000, say $5,000 property. So he would have to sell, build and sell, 35 structures of what you just heard. Wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. 35 times. Now, he built that by himself. Oh, and if he can do it, so can anybody who owes $175,000. I just did arithmetic. I took $175,000 and divided it. Third grade arithmetic. All right. Now, he did that by himself in 2 weeks. Now, let's say you know nothing about building, so you couldn't tackle this alone. Then here's the next step.
I'd say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pull up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, You know whose cars these is? He said, no. He said, well, I bought the house, not the cars. Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, we finna fix this house. I said, what kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, these my friends. The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch knew this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Okay, first step, and there are infinite amount of ways in which you can tackle this $175,000. But we're going to use the examples based on what we have here today. Number one, when you got a $175,000 tax bill and you're under threat of foreclosure, remember, you have a third grade arithmetic problem. That's first thing. Next thing is, because this particular lady, she was sounded sick, over 50, I'll put it that way. So he's got the basic skills, arithmetic skills. Next thing is, think on paper. $175,000. If I had, now in this case, the widget that we're using is his cabin, a $5,000 cabin. If I build a $5,000 cabin and sell it for $10 on like something like Facebook Marketplace, I can make $5,000. That means I would have to do this 35 times. Now, there's a bunch of people that need affordable living, I mean places to live. Because you got people living under bridges, you got people in shelters, you got people living in cars, vans, all kind of non-traditional housing arrangements in this country right now, as well as globally. So $10,000, the person doesn't have to go get a mortgage, doesn't have to go to the government or anything like that. So he's got to do that 35 times. Now, let's say he knows nothing about building at all. All right. Then that's why I played the last audio. She needs to sit down on with a piece of paper, and she needs 9 friends. Now, you might be able to only come up with 2 or 3, but that's okay, because out of the 2 or 3 people that you get besides yourself, you know, somebody out of that, it'll get up to at least 9. Now, in that, you heard him say he called his friends. Now, 9 pickup trucks came. So when you call on your friends, you're going to get financial resources that you don't have. I got to figure with those 9 pickup trucks, there were at least 2 people in each one of those trucks. That's 18 people, plus including the person who bought the house. That's 19 people. And when you got a crew of 19 people, what took a person 2 weeks by them lonesomes to build can be built in a matter of hours. Which leads us back to our title for today. Property Tax Outreach will be forming meetup groups for people that want this in their local neck of the woods, which is hands-on. And our goal in this is on February the 14th of 2025, next year, that's about 6 months from now, in our AM podcast, we will do a live stream, which will be visual, where we're going to help. Our goal is to help 10 people become homeowners. Now, we have a PM podcast right here on Blog Talk also called $2,500 Homes. And during that live stream, our goal is to help 100 people within 1 hour using e-commerce. Now, we have to assemble teams for that. That's why it's we're planning 6 months in advance for those 2 hours. Now, next month, September, and we're organizing now, the purpose of our meetup groups is basically to practice one little house at a time on how long it takes us to organize a project, to build it, and to sell it. We want to practice that a number of times before February 14th, which is Valentine's Day of 2025. So if you're interested in that, just hit me up at by text or phone call at 425-292-8768. Once again, 425-292-8768 if you want to be a part of that. All right. Because an hour that's not a whole lot of time. But like I said, we're practicing on a weekly basis on what crews that we have, you know, what kind of crews we have to have in place, logistics, what kind of equipment, you know, customer service, because these will be live streamed and we're going to be using e-commerce. So we're giving ourselves 6 months, and then we got to tweak it. Well, something didn't go right with this particular. Let's find out what we have to tweak. What do we need to improve on? Okay. Now, it doesn't have to be. Now, our widget are, you know, little affordable homes. Some people call them tiny homes. Well, one example that I've given over here several times, I'm not going to play it today, but Francois Mignon, the woman, and she's got videos on YouTube all over the place. When she and her husband with 7 kids, the lights were shut off. 7 kids now. It's one thing if we got adults, but 7 kids, no electricity in the house. 7 kids, no water in the house. No running water, put it that way. Sometimes they didn't even get to eat until 10 o'clock at night. 9 people waiting that long to eat. Now, on this particular day, and I'm sharing this story because you don't have to do this with the way we're doing it with tiny houses, because there are other widgets out there. I'm sharing the widget that she used. Now, let's get the picture straight. The lights were out, no electricity, the water, no running water. All right. Seven kids, total of nine people in the house with the two adults. The car was repossessed also. And on this particular day, she had $5, and that $5 was supposed to be used to feed her family of nine. Miracle worker. I can't even begin how to make that work. All right, but anyway, so she gets a knock on her door. This is her story is right on YouTube, Mignon Francois. And it was a real estate agent that she knew. And a real estate agent asked, why is it dark and such? She said, I'm meditating. So I said, well, look, here's why I'm here. I got an open house this afternoon. And you know those cupcakes that you pass out in the neighborhood, you know, occasionally? If you can rip up a batch of those for me, I'll pay you $1 per cupcake. So she took her $5. She didn't take a deposit from this lady now. So she had to work with what she had. So she had the $5, and she must have used a neighbor's oven or kitchen and had to get transportation to get to the dollar store. Wherever she got, had to go to get those get those ingredients. And she whipped up her cupcakes, got back in touch, must have used a neighbor's phone, got back in touch with the real estate agent. They're ready to go. Matter of fact, she probably said, they're about to come out the oven. Get here as they're just coming out. So she gets over there and smells the aroma of them and then pays her like $60, $61. So she was able to take the $5 and turn it into $60 that day. By the end of the week, she turned that $60 into actually $55 because she had to take $5 out to feed the family. Then by the end of the week, she turned that $60 into $600. Long story short, she made us enough by flipping cupcakes. And she didn't know how to bake. One of her daughters had to bake. But she had her grandmother's recipe. All right. She was able to get the lights cut back on, the water cut back on, to get the house out of foreclosure, and I'm assuming they got the car or got another car. That business, which you can look up online right now, is called the Cupcake Collection. That house that was in foreclosure that she saved for foreclosure is their first location in New Orleans, Louisiana. Once again, you can go to the Cupcake Collection. It's online right now. Look it up. And they have another location in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, I'm saying all this to say this, and since she's done over 10 million cupcakes, off of a recipe that her grandmother gave her. Anything is possible. All right, so our podcast tonight, which is on our other podcast channel, which is $2,500 Homes, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And that's at 6:30 tonight, 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, 5:30 Central. And we'll be talking about, I believe, the power of 1 hour, because an hour is a lot of time, if you know what to do with it. Because like I said, that's why we're giving ourselves a goal of helping 10 people become homeowners in 1 hour for our AM podcast, the one we're doing right now. This is 6 months from now, February 14, 2025. And in our PM podcast, how to help 100 people become homeowners in 1 hour. Don't know how to do it today. Got an idea, though. But out of my nine friends, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, 1, 2, 3 besides me. I got about 4. But I'm going to need at least 9 to pull it off. But I'm working with what I got. So anyway, hopefully, at least that's the way I see it, third grade arithmetic can basically solve the biggest of math problems that you might have. You just don't panic. You know, sit down, think, and then just start with some basic third grade arithmetic, because in first grade, it's addition and subtraction. And in second grade, they step it up, you know, with division, or they might do a repeat of first grade. But by third grade, it's those four basic operations, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. So this is a $175,000 problem. And you solve it on paper first. You solve it on paper first. And then you map out a plan. You know, so and then you just go from there. All right, that's it for today. Everyone have a good rest of the day. 6:30, $2,500 homes right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great rest of the day, great morning. See you later.